Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your host for this episode of Infotainment. Welcome to all the fun, festivities, and frivolity that my regular listeners have come to love. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to the show, and whether you listen by laptop, desktop, all the eyes from Apple, MP3 player, Android phone, however you or what format you listen by. Thank you. I also like to say hello to the person in Stuttgart, Germany that downloaded one older program, which kind of surprised me because I have quite a few others that are newer, but maybe he's a first time listener. Actually, our city is the sister city of Krelsheim, Germany, which I would like to visit someday because I hear that it's very nice and the people are very friendly to people from this town. And there's a lot of exchange students that have gone there and studied from our school systems and lots of different tour groups as well. And, well, welcome to the show. Let's get started. 3, 2, 1. Let's go. First up on the podcast docket for your consideration is a tale of suspense and intrigue from a White House, well, a former White House staffer. I know it's not Halloween yet, but here it goes. The Curious Tale of Sean Spicer and the Mini Fridge in the Night. You can't make this shit up. Yeah, this really does take the cake as it's written in this news story. I thought this was something bogus that the internet, somebody that the internet cooked up, but former White House press secretary Sean Spicer stole a mini fridge from his junior staffers, it was alleged Friday, citing unnamed sources. The Wall Street Journal reported in its story on the roller coaster ride of Spicer's tenure as press secretary that he had really, really wanted a mini fridge from his official about a month into his job for his office. So like any polite coworker, Spicer sent someone to ask the junior staffers down the hall to give them their fridge. They said no, according to the report. So Mr. Spicer waited until sundown after his young staffers had left to take matters into his own hands, the Journal reported. He was spotted by a fellow White House official lugging an icebox down the White House driveway after 8 p.m. After being denied, Spicer allegedly just took what he wanted anyway from a group of people that the Journal described as surviving on lean cuisine frozen lunches. And I understand there's a Walmart like less than 5 miles away from the White House. Can you see somebody carrying a fridge down the wall? White House driveway without being like, how many security cameras does the White House have? And people patrolling the grounds at night. I thought when I first saw that story, I thought it was a freaking joke, like the Onion had cooked up. And then I saw it in different news agencies, and but that was hilarious. And somebody said, well, you can buy one at Walmart for like $60. But I think this had the glass door. I've seen Monster as a glass-doored fridge for its drinks at some places. And I've seen in the past that looks pretty cool. Wouldn't mind having one of those, I guess. Very funny story. I'm surprised he didn't resign like a day after, where I think I would from embarrassment of doing that. But now on to something completely different. I was approached by some people to run a PSA on climate change. And I was a little resistant at first, but they said this was something that the American people needed to hear. And they said it was both informative and entertaining. So I reluctantly agreed. Let's give it a listen at this time.
Which just means that resources are going to become more and more scarce.
Hannah, you are so right. You know, call me crazy and handsome, but I think climate change is the most important issue facing our time.
Exactly.
Just a little thought I had.
Sorry, I gotta get this.
Aw, darn it.
But when I come back, we're talking about Al Gore.
Hey, cool. Guys, I have a confession to make. I don't care about climate change unless a pretty girl is listening. I mean, I don't want my kids and grandkids to grow up on some trash planet like WALL-E, but to be honest, it just doesn't seem like there's that much I can do about it. Whenever people start talking about science-y stuff, I just zone out. Emissions, CO2, 3PO, CELO greenhouse gases, and I definitely don't give a crap about polar bears. If a polar bear was here, it would probably be eating my face. It definitely wouldn't be giving me a Coke. Oh, well, nevertheless, I'm starting with the man in the hot tub, and I'm gonna make a change. And I don't know if I can save the world, but I do know I can have a conversation. And you know what they say. Whoever changes one mind has a better chance of making out with Hannah. So let's go learn about climate change.
The previous public service announcement has not been endorsed by the infotainment podcast or its affiliate radio stations. But hopefully you find it informative and entertaining. And now for something completely different. I received this advertisement from none other than the Donald. He is promoting a new product line with his name on it. Let's give that a listen. And it's, I've tried one, and they are yummy.
My fellow Americans, when I ran for president, I made a commitment to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare. But now that's changed. Today, through the Sharper Image, you can enjoy the world's greatest steaks in your own home with family, friends, anytime. And you're going to finally have the affordability they need and the quality they deserve at a lower price. Trump steaks are by far the best tasting, most flavorful beef you've ever had. Truly in a league of their own. It'll cost you less money by a lot, and it'll be a much better steak. You can't do better than that. Trump steaks are the world's greatest steaks, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Get something that's going to be really, really good. Trump steaks are the best one bite, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And believe me, I understand steaks. It's my favorite food. And these are the best. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Trump steaks. And by the way, if you want to take one, we'll charge you about what? $50 a steak.
Let me get a little serious for a moment. Just a moment. It won't be very long, but will require a lot of editing in the end because it's kind of off the cuff and not scripted. I came across a posting on my Facebook. CNN was returning, or already returning, a show, a documentary about the history of comedy. So I watched most of the first episode on YouTube, hosted by a man that I never got his name and didn't really know who he was. Who actually, in the end, admitted he enjoyed comedy. It was kind of a relief for him because he had been the victim of violent crime in his past. And it was taking comedy way back to vaudeville and things like that. And Charlie Chaplin, the Three Stooges, Archie Bunker was featured, and his bigotry, but we grew to love him, show was pushing the boundaries at that time. And I have little training in radio, and probably, except for this, I mainly studied video production in my school days. But I do have some background in performing stand-up comedy in clubs in the Minneapolis area, mainly during open stage night, which usually lasted for like 3 minutes. One of the funniest things I heard at a open stage night was not even part of anybody's act. It came outside while we were waiting. One guy mentioned to the club owner that, "Why do we only get 3 minutes?" And the club owner goes, "If you suck, 3 minutes is an eternity." And I pretty much agreed with that. When I started this, I knew that I probably would lose friends and possibly relatives because of the content, because I sometimes use profanity. I've said fuck, shit, and a few others sparingly, because somebody who laces everything they say with the N-word. I can't say the full word. According to Chris Rock, I'd have to have it improved by, approved by several black commissions on who can say the, who is allowed to say the N-word. And I'm white, so. Yep, I'm a honky. And a cracker, so. But I would like to, for those that don't know me, and you can say this program sucks or is good at times, and I probably still make glaring errors from the early episodes, which technically were, were kind of terrible. I have improved, I have been told at that. And mainly through watching instructive videos on YouTube on using this audio software program. My experiences in my early days, this would be 75 through the year 1980. During that time, I came in possession of an 8-track stereo system. Now, those of you young'uns who don't know what 8-track means, you might Google it. Got several comedy tapes. Steve Martin, for one. Bill Cosby, back when he was not up for a possible jail term. And I had a bloopers tape. News bloopers and things like that. Those are the ones I remember. I didn't get a George Carlin tape when he was a rising comic. But he, I think, and a few others were arrested for profanity and when they did their acts on television and in clubs. So that kind of developed my interest in becoming, sort of an entertainer. It's early in the morning and my throat is a little dry. And I did get criticized once when I was backstage in the green room waiting to perform, or having gotten done performing for my 3 minutes, because I entered a funniest person in the Twin Cities area. Which was $1,000 first prize, which I actually won my first round. Subsequently was beaten out by more experienced open stage comedians, probably some that had some paying gigs, shall we say. One of the complaints to me was, you're trying to be like Seinfeld. And it kind of took me aback. I really didn't say anything to the guy. I just kind of stared at him in disbelief because I thought my act was my own based on things I had seen and experienced. And I wasn't exactly loud enough in my speech pattern. But now I've kind of improved it for the podcast as far as loudness of my voice, which I keep tabs on through meters and effects, and I edit the program to death where I mess up. This, I think, has caused me to burn some bridges, which I find kind of hurtful because of my bipolar chemical imbalance, which has required medication that is being tailored to me now. Before, I was prescribed a drug that wasn't really helpful for me and caused me to, they use the word in crisis, and had to go to treatment facilities, manage and change my medication as psychiatrists and other people saw fit. I was prescribed a drug called Abilify. Very late in my rounds through different places for this condition, I was told through a test that the Abilify wasn't the best medication for my condition or symptoms. And I thought, well, I can curl up and become more introverted than I already am. And there's also a Facebook thing I saw about this, like the six most positive things about introverted people. And my issue with performing stand-up was that I enjoyed the laughter. It's a high when you get a laugh from a lot of people. That's incredible for me, a real kind of confidence builder and enjoyable, but I was very nervous at those times, even though sometimes it didn't show, but on the inside. So that's why I took to kind of a newer version of radio comedy, internet comedy, whatever you wish to call it, a podcast, where I do it myself, mainly produce it myself. I do everything for the most part by myself, except for a couple of occasions where I've had some guest contributions to the show, one of it which was fairly good, and he complimented my style of humor fairly well, even though I use profanity at times. He, being a Christian himself, he still is a friend with me, even though he knows about my brain condition. But I've found doing podcasts has been very therapeutic for me. And I had a long conversation with one of the people I work with at the counseling and social service work that now I'm involved with to keep me out of facilities for bipolar, that want to keep me as independent as possible, through which I've had some setbacks and some positive things have happened. Being able to do more podcasts is a positive thing. Trying to monetize this show where I made a little money out of it hasn't really come to fruition yet. But hopefully I will learn. There are like hundreds of self-help videos on YouTube, which I kind of caught on to, came up as recommended being a customer affiliate, where your website has ads and specials that push traffic to their home website, one of which is Walmart and Amazon.com. And there was some other one that he mentioned. So I started to dig into what was required by Walmart to have a page that promoted products that were available at Walmart. Prices subject to change, of course. And they have mountains and mountains of requirements there. And I was told in another video that you should go with this thing called Mobe, or Mobi, whatever it's called, where you promote products on your website. And the thing he said was that basically when you become an affiliate with a certain brick and mortar store or internet outlet like Amazon, that you only get the first purchase of a customer. Anything else is under the purview of the store or website. And the guy said, well, with Mobe, that you get more control of the customer's future purchases. And I think I would have to have a lawyer explain to me in plain English the restrictions and requirements of Walmart. I don't want to do that right away. But my first love is the way I do this show right now. In future episodes, I think some of it is serious and some of it is funny. A line that I've promoted. Some of my political talk has been a little more on the serious side. So that's a little background on to why I enjoy this so much and appreciate all the people who've listened to multiple episodes or who only have downloaded one because they didn't like my show or what for whatever reason. And having access to a worldwide audience, I've had episodes listened to in like Sweden, the UK, France, Somalia of all places, Germany. Just recently from the Stuttgart area of Germany. I'm hopeful that someone from the Krailsheim area might pick it up and listen to it. But that's some of my background and why I do this. For now, it's still pretty much a hobby, with the hopes that it rises in popularity. And even though you think it sucks or you like it, I think some of my relatives thought at first that I would just have a profanity-laced program, which has been far from the truth. I'm hopeful they've listened to more episodes than like one to find that out, that it's not, because some of it is, I'm not going to be politically correct all the time. I have done some stuff, bits on where I kind of impersonated a gay male to do a comedic bit. Changed my voice quite a bit for that, which I now realize probably didn't go over too well with a certain segment of the population, whoever listened to that program. Since I'm not Jewish, I don't do a lot of Jewish humor. I have listened to Sarah Silverman, Eliza Schlesinger, who I really enjoy. Freezing Hot was one title I really enjoyed. And that's, they kind of promote things like that to me. Since I've watched Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman, they kind of promote spy and stuff type movies to me. But this guy in the documentary said he still enjoyed comedy, even though some of it would be hurtful. But he said kind of freedom of speech prevails, and those people were offended by it, tried to get most of it censored. Those who protested, well, they also did a lot of a segment on rape jokes. And I would probably stay away from that because I don't find that funny or amusing. Maybe because I've watched some documentaries on the early life of Hitler and his rise to power, that he was a funny-looking man. I've come to learn nearly died in World War I due to a gas bomb, which doctors were thinking caused hysterical blindness. It is too bad he wasn't smoked out in World War I. Come to know that by now, with the atrocities that occurred in Germany during World War II. Well, and actually I'm getting a lot of selections on World War II right at the moment. There is one on concentration camps that was so horrifying and just, I couldn't watch it all. It was so horrifying. They showed people of the Nazi Party, citizens and officials from the Nazi Party, one wearing his Nazi uniform. They were given tours of what went on there and all the remains of dead bodies that were stacked up and, how do I want to phrase this, that were cremated but were not finished in the cremation process and still had some form to identify them as human bodies that were burned in gas chambers. I don't think I made it to those on the documentary. But I've kind of jumped all over on this topic. Maybe I'll try to refine it in a future episode. But now I'm going on to something completely different. I'm running my first advertisement today. It is advertisement the president endorses and is promoting. It is called Trump Steaks. Now, I love a good steak with mushrooms. But I will play that for you now. I've tried them. They're about $50 a piece, as stated in the commercial. And as Trump says at the end. So let's give that a listen. And hopefully you'll try them at your local meat market, grocery store that carries Trump Steaks. So let's get on with that. Listen up, folks.
My fellow Americans, when I ran for president, I made a commitment to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare. But now that's changed. Today, through the Sharper Image, you can enjoy the world's greatest steaks in your own home with family, friends, anytime. And you're going to finally have the affordability they need and the quality they deserve at a lower price. Trump steaks are by far the best tasting, most flavorful beef you've ever had. Truly in a league of their own. It'll cost you less money by a lot, and it'll be a much better steak. You can't do better than that. Trump steaks are the world's greatest steaks, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Get something that's going to be really, really good. Trump steaks are the best one bite, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And believe me, I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Trump steaks, and by the way, you want to take one, we'll charge you about what, $50 a steak?
Let me get a little serious for a moment. Just a moment. It won't be very long, but will require a lot of editing in the end because it's kind of off the cuff and not scripted. I came across a posting on my Facebook. CNN was returning, or already returning, a show, a documentary about the history of comedy. So I watched most of the first episode on YouTube, hosted by a man that I never got his name and didn't really know who he was, who actually in the end admitted he enjoyed comedy. It was kind of a relief for him because he had been the victim of a violent crime in his past. And it was taking comedy way back to vaudeville and things like that, and Charlie Chaplin, the Three Stooges, Archie Bunker was featured, and his bigotry, but we grew to love him. The show was pushing the boundaries at that time. And I have little training in radio, and probably, except for this, I mainly studied video production in my school days, but I do have some background in performing stand-up comedy in clubs in the Minneapolis area, mainly during open stage night, which usually lasted for like 3 minutes. One of the funniest things I heard at a open stage night was not even part of anybody's act. It came outside while we were waiting. One guy mentioned to the club owner that, "Why do we only get 3 minutes?" And the club owner goes, "If you suck, 3 minutes is an eternity." And I pretty much agreed with that. When I started this, I knew that I probably would lose friends and possibly relatives because of the content, because I sometimes use profanity. I've said fuck, shit, and a few others sparingly, because somebody who laces everything they say with the N-word, I can't say the full word. According to Chris Rock, I'd have to have it approved by several black commissions on who can say who is allowed to say the N-word. And I'm white, so yeah, I'm a honky and a cracker. So, but I would like to, for those that don't know me, and you can say this program sucks or is good at times, and I probably still make glaring errors from the early episodes, which technically were, were kind of terrible. I have improved. I've been told at that, and mainly through watching instructive videos on YouTube on using this audio software program. My experiences in my early days, this would be 75 through the year 1980. During that time, I came in possession of an 8-track stereo system. Now, those of you young'uns who don't know what 8-track means, you might Google it. Got several comedy tapes. Steve Martin for one. Bill Cosby, back when he was not up for a possible jail term. And I had a bloopers tape. News bloopers and things like that. Those are the ones I remember. I didn't get a George Carlin tape when he was a rising comic. But he, I think, and a few others were arrested for profanity and when they did their acts on television and in clubs. So that kind of developed my interest in becoming, sort of an entertainer. It's early in the morning and my throat is a little dry. And I did get criticized once when I was backstage in the green room waiting to perform or having got done performing for my 3 minutes because I entered a funniest person in the Twin Cities area, which was $1,000 first prize, which I actually won my first round. Subsequently was beaten out by more experienced open stage comedians, probably some that had some paying gigs, shall we say. One of the complaints to me was, "You're trying to be like Seinfeld." And it kind of took me aback. I really didn't say anything to the guy. I just kind of stared at him in disbelief because I thought my act was my own, based on things I had seen and experienced. And I wasn't exactly loud enough in my speech pattern. But now I've kind of improved it for the podcast as far as loudness of my voice, which I keep tabs on through meters and effects. And I edit the program to death where I mess up. This, I think, has caused me to burn some bridges, which I find kind of hurtful because of my bipolar chemical imbalance, which has required a medication that is being tailored to me now. Before, I was prescribed a drug that wasn't really helpful for me and caused me to, they use the word in crisis, and had to go to treatment facilities, manage and change my medication as psychiatrists and other people saw fit. I was prescribed a drug called Abilify. Very late in my rounds through different places for this condition, I was told through a test that the Abilify wasn't the best medication for my condition or symptoms. And I thought, well, I can curl up and become more introverted than I already am. And there's also a Facebook thing I saw about this, like the 6 most positive things about introverted people. And my issue with performing stand-up was that I enjoyed the laughter. It's a high when you get a laugh from a lot of people. That's incredible for me, a real kind of confidence builder and enjoyable, but I was very nervous at those times, even though sometimes it didn't show, but on the inside. So that's why I took to kind of a newer version of radio comedy, internet comedy, whatever you wish to call it, a podcast, where I do it myself and mainly produce it myself. I do everything for the most part by myself, except for a couple of occasions where I've had some guest contributions to the show, one of it which was fairly good, and he complimented my style of humor fairly well, even though I use profanity at times. He, being a Christian himself, he still is a friend with me, even though he knows about my brain condition. But I've found doing podcasts has been very therapeutic for me. And I had a long conversation with one of the people I work with at the counseling and the social service work that now I'm involved with to keep me out of facilities for bipolar that want to keep me as independent as possible, through which I've had some setbacks and some positive things have happened. Being able to do more podcasts is a positive thing. Trying to monetize this show, where I made a little money out of it, hasn't really come to fruition yet, but hopefully I will learn. There are like hundreds of self-help videos on YouTube, which I kind of caught on to, came up as recommended, being a customer affiliate, where your website has ads and specials that push traffic to their home website, one of which is Walmart and Amazon.com, and there was some other one that he mentioned. So I started to dig into what was required by Walmart to have a page that promoted products that were available at Walmart. Prices subject to change, of course. And they have mountains and mountains of requirements there. And I was told in another video that you should go with this thing called Mobe, or Mobi, whatever it's called, where you promote products on your website. And the thing he said was that basically when you become an affiliate with a certain brick and mortar store or internet outlet like Amazon, that you only get the first purchase of a customer. Anything else is under the purview of the store or website. And the guy said, well, with Mobe, that you get more control of the customer's future purchases. And I think I would have to have a lawyer explain to me in plain English the restrictions and requirements of Walmart. I don't want to do that right away. But my first love is the way I do this show right now and future episodes. I think some of it is serious and some of it is funny, that I've a line that I've promoted. Some of my political talk has been a little more on the serious side. So that's a little background on to why I enjoy this so much and appreciate all the people who've listened to multiple episodes or who only have downloaded one because they didn't like my show or what for whatever reason, and having access to a worldwide audience. I've had episodes listened to in like Sweden, the UK, France, Somalia of all places, Germany, just recently from the Stuttgart area of Germany. I'm hopeful that someone from the Krellsheim area might pick it up and listen to it. But that's some of my background and why I do this. For now, it's still pretty much a hobby, with the hopes that it rises in popularity. And even though you think it sucks or you like it, I think some of my relatives thought at first that I would just have a profanity-laced program, which has been far from the truth. I'm hopeful they've listened to more episodes than like one to find that out, that it's not, because some of it is, I'm not going to be politically correct all the time. I have done some stuff, bits on where I kind of impersonated a gay male to do a comedic bit. Changed my voice quite a bit for that, which I now realize probably didn't go over too well with a certain segment of the population, whoever listened to that program. Since I'm not Jewish, I don't do a lot of Jewish humor. I have listened to Sarah Silverman, Eliza Schlesinger, who I really enjoy. Freezing Hot was one title I really enjoyed. And that's, they kind of promote things like that to me. Since I've watched Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman, they kind of promote spy and stuff type movies to me. But this guy in the documentary said he still enjoyed comedy, even though some of it would be hurtful. But he said kind of freedom of speech prevails, and those people were offended by it, tried to get most of it censored. Those who protested, well, they also did a lot of a segment on rape jokes. And I would probably stay away from that because I don't find that funny or amusing. Maybe because I've watched some documentaries on the early life of Hitler and his rise to power, that he was a funny-looking man. I've come to learn nearly died in World War I due to a gas bomb, which doctors were thinking caused hysterical blindness. It is too bad he wasn't smoked out in World War I. Come to know that by now, with the atrocities that occurred in Germany during World War II. Well, and actually I'm getting a lot of selections on World War II right at the moment. There is one on concentration camps that was so horrifying, and just, I couldn't watch it all. It was so, so horrifying. They showed people of the Nazi Party, citizens and officials from the Nazi Party, one wearing his Nazi uniform. They were given tours of what went on there and all the remains of dead bodies that were stacked up and, how do I want to phrase this, that were cremated but were not finished in the cremation process and still had some form to identify them as human bodies that were burned in gas chambers. I don't think I made it to those on the documentary. But I've kind of jumped all over on this topic. Maybe I'll try to refine it in a future episode. But now I'm going on to something completely different. I'm running my first advertisement today. It is advertisement the president endorses and is promoting. It is called Trump Steaks. Now, I love a good steak with mushrooms. But I will play that for you now. I've tried them. They're about $50 a piece, as stated in the commercial. And as Trump says at the end. So let's give that a listen, and hopefully you'll try them at your local meat market, grocery store that carries Trump Steaks. So let's get on with that. Listen up, folks.
My fellow Americans, when I ran for president, I made a commitment to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare. But now that's changed. Today, through the Sharper Image, you can enjoy the world's greatest steaks in your own home with family, friends, anytime. And you're going to finally have the affordability they need and the quality they deserve at a lower price. Trump Steaks are by far the best tasting, most flavorful beef you've ever had. Truly in a league of their own. It'll cost you less money by a lot, and it'll be a much better steak. You can't do better than that. Trump Steaks are the world's greatest steaks, and I mean that in every sense of the word. Get something that's going to be really, really good. Trump Steaks are the best one bite, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And believe me, I understand steaks. It's my favorite food, and these are the best. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Trump Steaks. And by the way, if you want to take one, we'll charge you about, what, $50 a steak?
By the looks of the clock on the wall, it is definitely time to put this podcast to bed and post it to the interwebs. I hope you got a chuckle, a laugh, a belly laugh from this show. It was a difficult one to put together at times and post and the post-production. But glad you chose to listen to it by whatever format you listen by, and either play or download at infotainmentpodcast.com to get to the website. And I hope you have a good day, a good week, and a happy ending tonight. And we'll talk to you on the next podcast. Bye-bye, folks.